This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Blush. I'm your host, Hiva, and we are in a brand new studio. Well, okay, no, that's actually like incredibly factually inaccurate. We're literally in the same exact space, but I have reorganized, redecorated, and I'm actually not all the way done. I'm waiting on new chairs to come because this is actually a living room chair that I've been stealing for this project. And so I have two new chairs coming. So, you know, whenever I do have guests, which is like pretty much never, there will be a proper boucle chair for them. And I have another table coming too. There might be some more finessing around, and I'm going to do a video tour on the Blush Academy when I'm done with everything, which honestly should be by next week, I think. Unless something is delayed in shipping, but it already looks kind of different, right? And I don't know, we'll see. I'm a little worried about how it's going to go. I'm also using a new camera lens and everything's been moved around, and I'm naturally just terrified that something is going to go wrong, but like, whatever, I don't know. And now I'm in my head that it's more echoey because it's like decluttered. Oh my God, all the fucking things that run around in my goddamn head. Okay, let's just move right along. By the way, we have not been doing like a countdown type thing since before I hit 100 episodes, but next week is going to be the 150th episode. And I have to say, going from 100 to 150 has flown by. Although I really shouldn't speak too soon. I should really save this for next week. But it just kind of really snuck up on me. I was like, holy shit, like another 50 episodes just like in the snap of a fucking finger. I mean, look at me just pumping them out. Okay. Moving right along. It is the last Tuesday of the month, so we are doing a Q&A episode this week. And I don't want to dilly-dally because the questions are really good and I just want to jump into it. Honestly, I don't know how I feel about this new setup. It's a little jarring and it's going to take some adjusting. It's going to take some getting used to. Yeah, we'll see. I hope like the video and everything comes out okay. I'm so in my head about it now. I'm so in my fucking head. Okay. Anyway. Okay. Let's do word of the week and then just get right into the questions. Because like I said, the questions are really good and it would be a crime. I'd be remiss to not dive. What does that mean? That's what I should do for word of the week. Oh, by the way, I completely forgot to address this last week, but I just want to say to the Jewish audience, Happy New Year, Shana Tova. It's Shana Tova, not Shana Tova, right? Shana Tova. And also, this episode should be dropping right as Yom Kippur ends. So I hope you had an easy fast if you observe, and if not, you know, whatever. I don't know what to say. But yeah, I'm so sorry. I completely blanked on it last week. Okay. Word of the week this week is, honestly, let's do remiss just to make sure we're all using it correctly. And here's the thing with word of the week. If you haven't picked up, you're probably not learning any new new words. It's really every week. It's just a display of how limited my vocab is. And to anyone who has anything to say about that, I would like to remind you that English is my third language. Okay. Third language. So yeah. No, whatever. Okay. Let's just move on. I don't know what to say. The word that I had originally picked out for this week was base, but it's used in a very specific way. So in my book that I'm currently reading, I'm actually reading The Guest List by Lucy Hale. Lucy Hale is the girl from Pretty Little Liars, who is sober now, by the way. She's been sober for a while now. Random tidbit about her. She's so stunning. Also, can we just spend the next 45 minutes talking about how Lucy Hale's character in Pretty Little Liars was dating her high school teacher, and it was just treated like it was fine. And when her parents had issues with it, it was like, oh my God, they're so uptight. And it's like, are you fucking kidding me? Your high school teacher. I even remember when I started watching the show, I was in law school, and I was talking about it with a law school friend, and I was like, this is like really fucked up, and I really don't like the fact that my baby cousin watches this show and she's getting the message from this show that it's okay for high school teachers to date their high school students. And my law school friend was like, yeah, but I really love them as a couple. And I was like, no, like, this is not okay. This is not okay. Like, has the show at any point since it aired issued some kind of fucking apology and been like, I'm so sorry that we portrayed like sex predatorness and like statutory rape as being an acceptable thing? Because it's not. Even if she was 18, there are positions in life are so different that it's just unacceptable. Like, unacceptable. Other than that, it was a pretty fucking good show on GL. Okay. So the book that I'm reading right now, it's a Lucy Foley book. I read The Paris Apartment by her and I really liked it. My friend said it wasn't her favorite, but I personally really, really liked it. And I wanted that type of like page turner kind of vibe. And so I'm reading another one by her that's actually more highly rated than The Paris Apartment. It's called The Guest List. And my friend who said she didn't really like The Paris Apartment said she loved this. It's really good. I have to say though, I think my favorite of all the books that I've read so far, ever since I started reading in bed May 3rd of 2023, is Girl on the Train. Girl on the Train, Greenwich Park, Gone Girl. I don't know. They're all fucking good. I haven't had a miss yet. I really have not had a miss yet. And that's thanks in large part to one of my BFFs, Alex, who is my reading mentor / guru. I consult her every time I'm nearing the end of a book. And she's really been pushing me into reading The Hunger Games. And for whatever reason, I have so much resistance towards reading The Hunger Games. So now, naturally, I'm going to do it. It's going to be my next book. Okay. Anyway, when I was reading last night, I came across something and I realized this is a use of the word base that I see a lot. But if I really, really were to think about it, I don't actually know what it means. And it's when it's used as an adjective, like, and the way it was used in the book was like in a baser sense, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, okay, like I still get what the sentence means, but I don't actually know what that means. And so if I don't know, I bet there's someone else out there who doesn't know. And it took me a while into looking it up to get the definition of this use of it. And it means morally low, without estimable personal qualities, dishonorable, mean-spirited, selfish, cowardly. So, I think, and I could be wrong. I really could be wrong on this. I think it stems from base oil, which is crude oil. So it kind of is like synonymous with crude. I don't know. I could be wrong on that. So yeah, that's something you could share. And then let's just look up remiss. Definition. Lacking care or attention to duty, negligent. It would be very remiss of me not to pass on that information. Oh, okay. Lacking in attention to duty. Negligent. Okay, cool. I kind of prefer negligent to remiss, but you don't say I would be negligent. I'd be remiss not to mention that that is a phrase that you hear a lot, and it's chic. It's chic. You should use it. Okay. Should we jump right into the questions? Because like I said, they are really, really good. Oh, you know what? There's something else I jotted down. It's a little PSA, and I forgot to mention it. So let's do that. Guys, I'm so paranoid that I've like fucked something up on the tech setup. Like I can't get it out of my head that I'm like using the wrong mic or like the levels are wrong. I keep looking over at the screen. I'm scared I'm going to fuck something up. I'm always like this when I make a little change, but okay, whatever. So I wrote something down about clicking 5 times on iPhone. I think it's a safety thing. I'm looking it up. iPhone. Yes. Oh, okay. You can enable iPhone to start emergency SOS when you quickly press the side button 5 times. Go to settings, emergency SOS, and then turn on call with 5 presses. Okay. Let's like try this on right now. So first of all, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. That doesn't nothing for me right now. What was it? Settings, emergency SOS. Yes. Okay. Settings, scroll down and read emergency SOS, call with 5 presses. You turn that on. And then, oh, and what should automatically be on is if you press and hold the side and volume buttons, the emergency SOS slider appears. If you continue to hold them, a countdown begins and an alert sounds. When the countdown ends, iPhone calls emergency service. Now, if you turn on call with 5 presses, then rapidly pressing the side button 5 times starts a countdown and sounds an alert. When the countdown ends, iPhone calls emergency services. Okay. Is there a way to make it not? Oh, yes. And you can turn the countdown sound off that way. Like, let's say I always like to think like, what would I do in a hostage situation or things like that? I always like to have plans in place. I like have this weird fantasy where I not like fantasy, like I don't fantasize about being in a hostage situation, but I do seem to think delusionally in my head that if I were to be in a hostage situation, I would be the hero. Like I would somehow get the gun away from the person who's holding us all hostage, or I'd be able to talk him down off the ledge. And by the way, notice how I said him, because like they are always hims. Like I genuinely seem to think that if I were in some kind of hostage situation, I could like just use ration and reason and kindness and be like, I know you faced a lot of difficulty in your life, but like I'm here to help. Like it's honestly like so cringe and so sad how I like seem to think that I could do that. But yeah, okay. So that was a fun little PSA, just something to keep in mind. And yeah, okay. I was going to say like, maybe you'd want to turn the sound off. I don't know. There are situations in which obviously the sound could be helpful, but then there are situations in which it's like, no, you want to sneakily call the police. Like you don't want to fucking like alert them to the fact that you're calling the police. So yeah, I don't know. I think I'm going to turn the countdown sound off just in preparation for being in a hostage situation. I don't know, guys. Oh my God. Not me just choking on my saliva. Guys, I really hope I have the right thing on, the right just settings and stuff. I don't know. It just looks like the levels aren't as high as they should be. Maybe just like the levels or I don't know. I can punch it up in post. I need to stop freaking out about this. But like, what if No, we are not doing this. Also, my dog is like freaking out there. Okay, getting right into the questions. Question number one. Hi, I love Blush so much. Thank you so much. You are single-handedly improving every area of my life. I have a question that I think I know the answer to, but I need to ask anyway. I've been seeing this guy for a few weeks and everything has been really good. I know he's really, really into me. He constantly talks about how I'm the perfect girl, how he doesn't understand how no one has locked me down yet, how he wants to give me the entire world and do everything in his power to make me happy. It feels so good to hear these things. He also makes jokes about me breaking his heart and how I have the upper hand. Sorry, my dog like just went sprinting down the hallway. I have no idea why. It feels so good to hear these things. He also makes jokes about me breaking his heart and how I have the upper hand. I do love the security and control that I feel in this dynamic. The problem is I'm not 100% sure I feel the same way. I do really like him. He's good looking, has a great job, is an excellent communicator. I feel zero anxiety with him. The sex is the best I've ever had and we have a lot of fun together. But even though all those things are true, I also find myself questioning it constantly. But I know my feelings aren't as strong as his. My friends tell me this is normal and good, that the guy should be more into the girl. I do like the security of that, but at the same time, I miss the feeling of being really excited about someone. Is this just my anxious attachment seeking a trauma bond and I feel bored because he's secure, or is it really the ick and I'm not actually into him? Sometimes I'm so positive that he isn't the one, but I also feel like it's near impossible to walk away. I've never had someone fawn over me so much. And I also don't, sorry, my dog keeps like just suddenly sprinting down the hallway. But I also feel like it's near impossible to walk away. I've never had someone fawn over me so much. And I also don't want to hurt him. I can't stop overthinking. Please help. Okay, first of all, I have been where you are right now over and over and over and over again. In fact, like 90% of my dating history is exactly where you are. And especially once I learned more about attachment theory and stuff, then I really started like going into the, well, maybe like it's just because he's secure and like I'm used to like trauma bonds and like maybe exciting isn't a good thing, yada, yada, yada. Here's the thing. That whole like anxious attachment might be bored with secure attachment thing tends to be very early, very in the beginning. And you said that you've been seeing this person for a few weeks. So like what I always recommend if you're someone who has a history of, you know, anxious attachment and a history of dating people who are avoidant and a history of dating, you know, having more like of those tumultuous, like very like dopamine rich, like fighting and making up and drama and like push and pull and things like that type of relationship. If you start seeing someone who's really secure and you feel bored, give them more of a chance. Like don't write them off after date one, date two, date three. But if you've been seeing someone for a minute and you still are like you've been fucking this dude and you still don't have the feelings there, that's not a great sign. Now, number one, I would really recommend just like leaning into your body and focusing less on your thoughts and more on the sensations that you feel in your body and just jotting things down like that. But I don't know, girl. To me, this sounds like you are just worried that you're not going to find anyone better than this and find anyone else who loves you this much and is this into you. But also, can I just say, it sounds like the person that you're dating actually has anxious attachment or like maybe even is love bombing a little bit. Because the thing is, I don't think that true love A builds this quickly and B like has the need to be this expressive this early on. Like this guy reminds me of the love bomby type of guys that I've dated in the past. A lot of them were really anxiously attached, but the thing is like when you're the object of an anxiously attached person's fixation, they don't actually really love you. They just love the way that you're making them feel. So it's not even about you. But I want to switch gears and I want to tell you a story. So when I lived in DC, I believe this was in 2017, I bought a few plants. I decided I wanted to be like a plant kind of girly. And I got a split leaf monstera. She was adorable. I should find photos of when I first got her. Adorable. When I moved to New York, end of 2018, I brought my monstera with me. She was doing great. I think I've repotted her a few times. And then I think the last time I repotted her was in 2019. In 2020, I meant to repot her. And then ever since, I've just fucking forgotten. So last week, I'm looking at this monstera and I was like, this bitch has been way overdue for a repotting for a really fucking long time. So I got this beautiful concrete planter and I did some research and apparently you can repot a plant directly into the planter. And so I was like, all right, I'm going to do that. I went, I got some potting soil because I knew she'd need some more potting soil. I mean, this planter is significantly bigger than the pot that the monstera was in. And so I go to pull her out of the pot to put her into this new planter and I cannot get this plant out of the pot. So I'm kind of like freaking out, like, what the fuck am I going to do? Like, what, like, I'm like looking all this stuff up, you know, water the plant, do this, do that. I'm trying everything. I'm tapping on the bottom. I'm turning it upside down. I'm holding her down. I mean, it is a fucking mess. There's dirt everywhere. It's just fucking impossible. You know why it was impossible? Because I let it go way too long and the roots are just pushing against this pot. So I start just trying to cut through the pot. It's like a very thick plastic. Can't cut through it. There's way too much pressure. I'm using knives. I'm trying to saw it down. I'm using a bread knife, like a serrated bread knife. And I put on my mesh gloves so that I don't slice through my hands. And I'm just sitting there trying to saw through it. Can't fucking do it. I go to the hardware store. I bought scissors that are meant for sheets of steel. And I'm using that to try to cut through the pot. Even with scissors that are meant for sheets of steel, it took me hours to cut through that shit. My arm was sore as fuck and a bitch works out every fucking day, okay? This was no small task. What I thought was gonna take me like 10 minutes ended up taking me like 12 hours over the course of 2 days. There was dirt everywhere. Sam, my dog, was freaking out because there's just plant shit flying everywhere. I finally fucking was able to completely cut through this white pot, put the monstera into another planter. I accidentally did ding some of her roots. So like, let's hope I didn't fucking kill her. But here's the end result. Number one, the monstera did not grow like she could have grown over the past 3 years because she needed to be repotted. She needed a bigger pot to have room to grow. That was not her pot anymore. So I inhibited her growth. B, I made it way fucking harder on myself by having to move it now instead of if I had done it 3 years ago. If I just done it 3 years ago, it would have been so much easier. Instead, it became so fucking root bound. It was this whole 2 day debacle that it didn't need to be. And last of all, if I had done this shit 3 years ago, I could have reused the pot that the monstera was in for another one of my plants. Instead, I had to completely crush it into nothing. And I think that we all have been in situations like this, situations where it's comfortable and it's easy and you're like, oh, I'll just get out of it later. Like, it's fine. I'll just do it later because this is so comfortable and it feels so good. And that's fine. You're allowed to do that. But when you overstay in a situation, it A, becomes a lot fucking harder to leave. B, the entire time that you're in that situation, you're tampering down on your own ability to grow, and see, you're going to hurt the other person way fucking more than if you just bite the bullet earlier on. So listen, I'm not going to tell you what to do. And like, maybe this actually is the person for you. And maybe it is the whole like attachment thing, trauma bond thing. I don't know. My gut says it's not, just based on the way you worded the question, just based on just the resistance and the tone of the question itself. the fact that you've been seeing this person for a while, you've slept with him, and you still don't feel excited about him. Listen, early stage dating is when you should feel that excitement. Like, when I say like give it a chance and the feelings might grow, we're talking the first few dates. We're not talking months in. We're not talking like when you're already fucking on the regular. By then, you really should be feeling the excitement. And if you're not, the longer you delay it, that's fine. You're allowed to do whatever you want. But the longer you delay it, you're inhibiting your own growth. You're making it harder for yourself, and you're going to crush the other person more and more and more. And you know what? For everyone listening, maybe this exact situation doesn't apply to you, but I think we all have somewhere in our lives an area that's analogous to my plant repotting story, an area where we're overstaying a situation that we shouldn't be in anymore. Maybe it's a relationship, a dating situation. Maybe it's a job situation. Maybe it's a friendship. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's a behavior of yours that you don't really like. Maybe it's an old habit that you want to cut out. Maybe it's a new habit you want to bring in, but all of us have one area of our lives where we need to be making a change that we're delaying it. And my pot replanting story is here to remind you, just do it, because the longer that you wait, the harder it's going to be. And the more you're holding yourself back from the opportunities that present themselves when you actually make this positive change in your life. So I hope that's helpful. Would love an update. You know the drill.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at IKEA-USA.com today.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Dear Colgate, I love that you love that I love being at home. You even let me whiten my teeth from home.
Because you know how I feel about getting up from my cloud couch.
The Colgate Optic White LED Kit gives professional level results in just 10 minutes a day for 10 days when used as directed.
And that's why, Colgate, I want you to meet my parents. Because ever since meeting you, I've been living life to the brightest. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams, so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. That's Atlassian.com. Atlassian.
Okay, moving right along to the second question. Oh, I love this one. I have this guy friend that I haven't talked to for 9 months. He appeared on my doorstep yesterday without warning. I was in the middle of something and didn't answer the door. Like, who even answers the door anymore? I'm a millennial and so is he. Anyway, he sent me a text saying that he stopped by my house to catch up earlier and I wasn't home. I was / am furious. I thought that 9 months of me not being in contact was enough to indicate that I wasn't / am not interested in continuing this friendship. Do I need to have a full-on conversation with him about how and why it is offensive to show up on my doorstep doorstep without prior arrangements to be there. I felt like he was invading my personal space, taking advantage of my socialization as a female born human to throw aside my day and just appear for him and give him that time that isn't his to take. This has happened a couple of times before, but not since the pandemic. I've never told him explicitly that I don't want to hang out and you are not invited over. Do I need to say that? I'm inclined to just ghost him. I don't feel like he deserves any more of my time. I don't know what his intentions were. It's possible that he just wanted to talk, and it's also possible that he was trying to hook up. If he would have invited me to go to coffee, I would have declined because I don't want to spend time with him. There's almost nothing he can invite me to or ask of me that I would do. For context, he is someone that disappears in and out of my life with frequency, and that is not someone I want in my relationship circle. There have been a couple of times in our friendship history in which we could have been more, but we've never hooked up. When I came out as bi to him and our friend group a few years ago, he was intentionally misunderstanding me and generally being a pretentious dick. He's very religious and an only child of an entitled family. Since then, I haven't felt safe around him and have intentionally created space and boundaries within our friendship. He's a terrible communicator and does some travel during the summer for his job. The longest he was out of my life without communication was 7 years because he met someone and was focused on that. 7 years? Jesus, what did you guys meet as like infants? When it ended, he just reappeared and expected things to be the way that they always were within the friend group. Many people besides me were thrown when that happened because we never talked about it. I think this is coming from a place of trying to protect my own self, time, energy, and physical space because I wasn't able to do any of that in childhood. I don't have a ton of energy each day and really need to allocate it how I want, which doesn't include random visits to my door. None of my best friends would show up on my doorstep unannounced. If they did, I would know that it was an emergency and that would be different. I can see it coming from my childhood in terms of when things happen. Sometimes my parents would never talk about it again as if it wasn't real. My family, exact same dynamic, by the way. And going back to healing my inner child, it's really hard to figure out was my memory of this real because it happened one time or even many times and we literally never brought it up again. I think this is where the crux of it, this is coming from, and I haven't healed that piece within myself yet, though I'm working on it. Communication is a huge part of what I want in friendships and potential relationships. This individual is simply unqualified. I was thinking of blocking him, but he's in a larger friend group and we sometimes plan group events. It seems like if I blocked him, he could say yes that I'm coming to an event and I wouldn't see and he would be there and I wouldn't expect it, which would bother me. But seriously, the coming to my door unannounced thing is exceptionally not okay to me and I need him to never do that again. Thoughts? Okay. In reading your question, I'm sensing a lot of anger coming from you. And let me just backtrack. I don't think anger is a bad thing. I think anger is a very healthy and normal thing. And anger is the natural and normal reaction to our boundaries being violated. And it sounds like your boundaries have been violated by this individual in more than one way. Number one, showing up at your doorstep unannounced is completely unacceptable. Like, that goes without saying. You're aware of that. I assume he's aware of that or not or whatever. But like, yeah, so that goes without saying, and I understand why you're upset about that. Number two, I think there's probably a lot there about when you came out. I mean, that sounds like you didn't go into details, but coming out is a very big deal, and how people react can really frame how you feel about yourself and also obviously your relationship with that person going forward. So I don't know exactly what he did, but whatever he did, it sounds like it was incredibly, incredibly hurtful. And you still are processing that. And like, you have some feelings around that and you're allowed to have those feelings. On top of that, the kind of like whatever like potential romantic element to things. Like you said, you thought he might be showing up to try to hook up after not talking to you for 9 months, like just maybe the entitlement, like maybe you're feeling like who gives you the right to think that you could just like hook up with me. I don't know. It sounds like there's a lot of like resentment on your part towards him. And I just want to say, I think you're unbelievably justified in feeling these feelings. Like, I don't say like, ooh, you're so angry as a dick. Like, I'm saying, I think you're having a healthy and normal reaction and you're allowed to have that reaction. Okay. So let me start right there and then let me go back to my notes. I just want to say you don't need to justify your reaction. Like, you're actually really allowed to have this reaction, like regardless of your childhood, etc. Like, this is a normal and healthy reaction. And maybe it's possible that you also have a bit of anger towards yourself in the past for putting up with this type of behavior in the past and allowing your boundaries to be violated more in the past. So like, maybe a bit of your anger is actually directed at yourself too. Now here is what I would do. Number one, I would do the communication NRP within the Blush Academy and just really sit down face to face with this person and say all of these things and really just be as base as you want to be. Like, really let them have it, because there's a lot there. There's a lot there. And there's a lot, whether you end up talking to this person or not in real life, there are things that you can say in a visualization scenario that you're not going to be able to actually say in real life. So I just want you to really get down there and say all of the things that you need to say first and foremost. And then I want you to also do the like facing fears NRP. And sorry, my dog's literally trying to break into the room. And so I want you to do the facing fears NRP and visualize the part of yourself, the protective part of you that is feeling the feelings towards this person, like the anger, the protectiveness, the kind of the energy that I'm getting in this question. So visualize that part of yourself that's feeling these things as a separate person. Sam, mommy's trying to work. Right? Kibbles don't pay for themselves. Someone has to work in this household so that you can get both canned food and dry food and go to the vet 16 times a month. Okay. You're an expensive ass dog, Sam. Okay. So sorry. Oh, my poor girl. I feel so bad. I can't wait for Ozzy to be back in town because it's so much easier to record when he's here, because she just hangs out with him instead of trying to break down the door and just take her spot in the spotlight. And the thing is, I would just leave her in the room, but then she wants to leave the room and we can't just leave the door open because of sound reasons. So I can't just have her going in and out, in and out, in and out. Anyway, visualize the part of yourself that's feeling these feelings as a separate entity, as a separate person, and sit down and have a conversation with this part of yourself and really get everything out. And whether you actually end up having a conversation with this guy in real life or not, whether you end up blocking him or not, I think all of these things are very, very secondary. So to really summarize, number one, you have every right to feel this way. Number two, your anger is justified and a healthy reflection of the inner work that you've been doing, because maybe an old version of you in this situation would want to fawn or would just be like, oh, like blah, blah, blah. But the fact that you're having this angry reaction, I think just shows how much work you've done on your people pleasing tendencies and how much work you've done with putting up boundaries, because you're actually recognizing that this isn't okay. So you should be really fucking proud of yourself for that. And then do those NRPs. And when you're in those NRPs, actually ask that part of yourself, like, do I need to have a conversation with this person? And if yes, then you'll have already rehearsed having the conversation and it'll be a million times easier for you to do it. But all in all, I think you should be really, really proud of yourself here, because I think the fact that you're even asking this question highlights how much work you've done on yourself and how aware you are of your own patterning. Okay, next question. My partner and I got engaged last week thanks to you. Oh my God. Our relationship was on its last leg before I found the Blush Academy, but working through the attachment styles and fight picking courses literally saved our relationship. So thank you for that. You're so welcome. I have a question regarding prenups. My fiance's family is very well off. His grandfather started a very successful family business that has been passed down and will eventually be his. My family comes from nothing. The other day, my future mother-in-law mentioned a prenup and I got pretty upset. Prenups feel so cold and anti-feminist. What's your take? Okay, this actually might be surprising to some because, you know, I am very, very feminist, but I am extremely pro-prenup. And let me explain why. And to do so, let me go into kind of what marriage used to look like historically. Historically, people got married quite young, like right out of school. And if the guy, let's say, were to go to grad school, and I say the guy were to go to grad school, because like women back then really by and large did not. But let's say, you know, they got married right out of college. So like a slightly better off maybe socioeconomic status. And then the guy were to go to grad school, usually the woman would be working to support them while the guy's in grad school. And then he graduates, gets a job. They might end up having kids, whatever. Well, not might end up. They would have kids. And the guy now has a higher paying job so that he can take care of the whole family through his income while the woman is running every single thing in the house. She's doing the childcare. She's doing the cooking. She's doing the cleaning. She's running an entire household. Now, the reason that when this couple gets divorced, they would split the income 50-50 is because they're delegating chores, right? It's kind of like if you were to start a business with someone, let's say selling custom t-shirts, and one of you does the screen printing and the other one does the packaging and the shipping. You have a division of labor and you're splitting things equally because you're both putting in work to that thing. That man would not be able to bring home that income without the woman holding down shit at home. Without her, he would not be able to have that job. He is able to be working that many hours because he has someone at home running the household. If not for her, he'd be having to pay for childcare, for food, for cleaning around the house, for all of those chores. So they just have a division of labor where they're doing things differently. That's how marriages looked historically. Their income should be split equally. Everything that he's earning, they are earning, because even though she's not showing up to the office, she's doing the things at home so that he can show up to the office. Now, modern marriages, by and large, look quite different. You don't have that. Still women are doing a lot more around the house than men are. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, in a dual income household, it's a little bit of a different situation. And then when people are getting married later in life, that's also a little bit of a different situation, because historically people were coming into marriages with no assets at all. Whereas now we're often entering into relationships or entering into marriages with a lot of premarital assets. The money that your fiance's family earned is in no way, shape, or form thanks to you doing anything. It's completely different from the scenario I stated before, where the woman is running the house and the money that the man is earning is coming because she's chipping in this way. You haven't chipped in shit for his grandfather starting that business. That is not your money. You're not entitled to that money. Now, that being said, a prenup is just a contract. It can say anything you want it to say. We've demonized the word prenup to mean something that it doesn't even mean. It's just an agreement. It's just a contract. That contract can say anything in it. You could have a prenup that's quite favorable to you, and you could have a prenup that's not favorable to you. So I'm very pro prenup. But get a lawyer involved and make sure that it's a prenup that's fair to you. I mean, look at your situation, look at your dynamic. If you're giving up anything, anything at all, in order to help him in any way, shape, or form, you need to be protected. And if you were to have kids, you would be giving up elements of your career just by nature of you being a woman and having to carry the child and then having to, you know, primarily care for the child because your body is so closely tied to that child. You have to be protected in those scenarios. So just having a prenup should not mean anything to you. It's nothing negative, but make sure that you are protected and just keep in mind what your situation is and what your dynamic is. And like, let's say if you were to get divorced without kids versus with kids, that situation should look very, very different. So like, make sure it's a fair and equitable prenup to you. I would hire a lawyer who specializes in this type of thing and not just take their prenup and look at it. When they present you with a prenup, I would say, thank you so much. I'm going to have my lawyer glance it over and then we'll sign it. And if they're like, wait, what? Be like, I'm so sorry. I was raised in a family where I don't sign anything without having a lawyer look at it. Just like you had a lawyer draft up a prenup. I'm going to have a lawyer glance over it. Not a big deal. And we'll get it out of the way. It's not a big deal. It's just a contract, but you can have that contract be equitable to you. But this notion out there that like prenups are anti-feminist is fucking bullshit. Like it's shit like this that sets women back. Okay, moving right along. Guys, I don't know. It looks like the levels are fucked. I'm really worried about the situation. Also, my phone's dying, so that's great. Okay. There's this guy from school and he seems like he genuinely likes me. He's been asking to hang this past month and I finally hung out with him and he's really sweet. The problem is I've never dated anyone, but my long talking stages are so toxic and I don't know how to handle healthy relationships. I canceled on him the other night because of self-sabotage. He was nice about it, but I actually want to start hanging out more because I'm scared he's losing interest. But now school is starting and we both play fall sports. I don't want to lose him. Any tips? This is so fucking sweet. I can't. Okay, number one, I would do the trigger NRP within the Blush Academy on your past relationship dynamics to really get to the root of why things were so toxic in those talking stages and really work through that because it sounds like you have a bit of unresolved trauma around that. So just working through that so you're not kind of like looping on that energy, I think is going to be really, really helpful. And the mental rehearsal NRP, I think, can be really helpful for you to just like put yourself out there and show up really confidently with this guy and not overthink it. And then lastly, while you're doing this inner work, I mean, it sounds like both of you are in school. Invite him to group stuff, like when your friends are having parties or like doing group stuff, invite him to that type of stuff so there's less pressure and you are like less likely to cancel and things like that. Like there are other people around, but just keep him in the loop in that way and like keep him in the orbit, but do that kind of inner work and it really shouldn't take long. Like I don't get the vibe that this is a difficult situation at all, but yeah, just give it like a few sessions of NRPs and I think you're going to be gold and you're going to be good. And I think dating this person actually could be quite healing for you. So good luck with that. Okay. I only seem to want to have sex with my boyfriend if we're fighting. I'm sorry. I don't know why I think that's so funny. I love my boyfriend so much. We met right after I started doing Blush Academy work and everything has been so amazing. In the beginning, things were hot and heavy, but now as we are approaching the 1 year mark, I find myself feeling very blah towards him / the relationship and I'm only really turned on when we fight. What do I do? Honestly, this is like kind of common and I think it's actually just dopamine addiction. And like, don't get offended. We're all kind of dopamine addicts. Like we're all just constantly chasing dopamine highs. Like even the other day I was thinking about it And I think I'm currently addicted to the dopamine high of like cleaning and decluttering. Now, is this like the worst thing to be addicted to? No, it's like all in all, not that big of a deal, but we are all constantly chasing a dopamine high. Now, my guess is that you have a history of being in very tumultuous, up and down, fighting and making up and breaking up type of relationships. And so you're used to the exhilarating, it's like a drug high every time you fight and you break up and you make up and you have that hot makeup sex. And like, if that's what your brain is used to, then being in a stable, healthy relationship is gonna feel pretty fucking boring, especially like you said, in the beginning, everything was hot and heavy because you have the dopamine high from the newness. But once that novelty wears off, then you're just in a normal, healthy relationship. And if that's not what you're used to, it's gonna feel boring, especially if you have any sort of like background, childhood, and like a lot of fighting and chaos in the house, then you're way more primed for that type of thing. Now, number one, I think you should be really fucking proud of yourself for having come this far and been able to be in a stable and healthy relationship. I think that shows how much inner work you really are doing and how seriously, like, listen, a lot of people are in the Blush Academy. Not everyone's actually doing the work consistently, but this shows that you are doing the work really consistently. So congratulations to you for doing that. But yeah, this is really normal. Now, what I would recommend, and this is something that I actually really want to do, is like address the dopamine situation. So like number one, reduce blue light. Now, this is something that I do. If you go to your phone, go to settings. This is for iPhone. Sorry, I don't know how Androids work. Go to settings, go to display and brightness, click on night shift. Click on scheduled, click on manually enable to tomorrow, and move the slider on the bottom to more warm. Now for scheduled, click and put it from 2 p.m. to 12 p.m. Now what this is going to do is it's going to shift your phone screen to a warmer mode where there's less blue and green light at all times of the day other than 12 to 2 p.m. But you want to set it from 2 p.m. to 12 p.m. I know it sounds weird, but it works. And that way 12 to 2, your phone screen will be normal with like the full blue amount, and that mimics the color wavelengths of the sun from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. sun. But the rest of the time, there's less blue light. Blue light like is actually really exciting, and you'll notice it as soon as it's noon and I look at my phone screen. I'm like, fuck yeah, it looks so fucking good. Like I get so excited because it gives me that dopamine rush. But then the rest of the time, I'm like, what is this stupid ass phone screen? Because it's not giving you that dopamine rush. So that's like the first way that you can address it. Other than that, like reduce highly palatable foods. So like the super processed foods that have this magical combination of sugar, salt, and fat that like release a ton of dopamine in your brain, cut those things out or reduce them. Do low intensity exercises, reduce alcohol, cannabis, and other substances, reduce your social media and scrolling, connect with nature more, quiet your mind more, spend more time intentionally doing nothing without your phone. All of these things will just kind of like break your dopamine addiction a little bit. I would do the trigger NRP on any memories of tumultuous relationships and childhood fighting. And then I would do the facing fears NRP and really sit down with the part. By the way, if you're new here, NRP stands for neural rewiring practice. It's these auditory practices that are in the Blush Academy. You listen to them like you would a guided meditation, but it really just helps to like rewire your mind. Like literally rewire your brain. It helps build new neural pathways. So sit down with a part of yourself that is feeling this boredom and just talk to that part of yourself and see what it's looking for. See what she wants, what she's looking for, what her concerns are, how she's trying to protect you by feeling this boredom, and just really reassure her that just because we're not used to calmness doesn't mean that that's a bad thing. And, you know, this is the part of the episode every week I bring this up, but our brains are constantly seeking out what it already knows. And so if you're used to a lot of chaos in your life, then your brain will constantly seek out more chaos because that's what it knows. And it's kept you alive so far. So even though you hate it and you don't like it, your brain is always going to prioritize what it knows, because what it knows you can survive. And so you've done enough rewiring to be able to have a relationship that is calm, but there's still a bit more to be done to really show your brain that calmness and security is actually safe and it's okay and it's a good thing. So yeah, really like A+. The questions this week just show how much work you guys have done on yourselves. Okay, we're going to do one more question because honestly, I can't really see how long I've been going for because of this new setup. And who the fuck even knows if this audio is being recorded? God, I have so much anxiety. I cannot. Okay. I am so obsessed with Blush. You have no idea. Thank you so much. The questions this week are so complimentary. Keep it coming, guys. Thank you so much for everything that you do and for literally changing my life. I'm dealing with some issues in both my personal life and professional. I've been so stressed and overwhelmed lately, and I find myself getting irritable, snappy, and short with people around me. I've sent a few really rude emails at work. I snap at my parents and my boyfriend all the time, and I can sometimes be shady/rude to my friends without even intending to. I'm scared I will lose my job and my relationships. Please help. First of all, like A+ for being so fucking self-aware. Like I could see someone writing in this question as being like, blaming other people instead of really looking internal and being like, I'm the common denominator here and how can I be better? Now, this is really actually very simple. You just have a dysregulated nervous system. Specifically, you're experiencing a lot of fight energy, which is completely normal. It's completely fine. When I'm dysregulated, I also tend towards fight energy. It's just kind of my constitution. I think like we all kind of have different archetypes that we navigate towards when we are dysregulated. And for you and I, it's fight energy. And it comes out as that like sharp tongue and the irritability and the snappiness. And sometimes it's like sick burns and people laugh and it like kind of like emphasizes that behavior. But sometimes you take a step back and you're like, no, that's not cool. Like I should not. So really like A+. And I mean, it's as simple as regulating your nervous system, which really isn't like that simple. And also it's possible that you are overcompensating for, just to like kind of bring it back to an earlier question from today's episode, that you're a bit overcompensating for previously allowing your boundaries to be really violated. I don't know if there is an element of that. You really want to make sure that you sit down in, you know, a deep hypnotic state with that past version of yourself and forgive her for allowing that to happen. And actually that goes for the question about the boundaries before with the guy showing up. Make sure you're forgiving that old version of yourself that was allowing your boundaries to be violated more. Really look out for the nervous system course that's coming out. There was a question, by the way, when is the nervous system course launching? 2 weeks from today as you're listening. Unless like I die in the process of trying to get it out there, which is entirely possible. But really look out for that. But like really, you want to be increasing your sleep. You want to be increasing your nutrition. That doesn't mean necessarily eat more, but you want to be eating more nutrient dense foods. Mindful movement, breath work. Make sure your digestion and elimination are on point. I mean, if you're fucking constipated, that's going to drive all of this to a 10. So make sure you're eliminating well, and really make sure you're using a combination of proactive tools and reactive tools. So proactive tools are things that you do just on the daily to be strengthening your nervous system so that when you are triggered, you're not going to fly off of baseline as far. So like, let's say this is your baseline. And then when you're triggered, you are currently going to here. If you're practicing more proactive tools, then maybe when you're triggered, you go to here and you come back here a lot faster. And so proactive tools involve a lot of different types of breath work, especially very active types of breath work that purposefully put your body in a more stressed state. The reason that we do that is because if you purposefully and with control put your body in a stressed state, then you're teaching your body to have more control when you become stressed. And you're also practicing stress so that you're practicing coming back to baseline faster when you are stressed. Exercise is a type of proactive tools, and all of the lifestyle factors are proactive tools. Cold exposure, things like that are proactive tools. And then reactive tools are things that you do once you're already pushed off of baseline to come to baseline quicker. And so this involves a lot of more relaxing types of breath work. So, calmer types of breathing that help you get back to center and fight anxiety quicker. Exercises like 5-4-3-2-1, there are variations of it, but list five colors that you see, four shapes, three things you can hear, whatever, tune into your senses. One I really, really like is pick an object, anything around you, and describe it in full detail, as much detail as you can. So look at it, look at the shape, the textures, the colors. If I were doing this right now with this eucalyptus branch by me, it's kind of dried. It's more shrivelly on the top. The leaves are a little bit curled. It's a brighter green color than a lot of other dried eucalyptus because, I did buy it fresh and it's in the process of drying. I just knocked a leaf down. When I touch it, it kind of makes this crinkly kind of sound and it shakes a little, it rebounds and it makes some of the other branches shake. And, if I were to bring it to my nose, I'm sure I could smell it. Although I do have a very weak sense of smell, so maybe I wouldn't be able to smell it. Who knows? But yeah, you really want to just really tune into the present moment. And if you can get better at becoming aware of when you are getting into that fight energy and stopping yourself and really tune into your body cues. One thing I've been doing is practice every day taking a few minutes to scan your body and making note of all the sensations that you feel in your body. And if you practice that over time, you'll start to get better at noticing the warning signs in your body of when you're getting into that stress state and you're experiencing more fight energy. Maybe the telltale for you is your stomach drops, or let's say your lips start trembling or heart starts racing. You're going to notice the warning cues, and then you'll get better at knowing when you're about to get in that state and be able to preempt it better and know okay, every time my lips start trembling, if I just go for a walk around the block, that's going to help me soothe a little bit so that I'm able to face this next thing with a little bit more ease. So I hope that's helpful. I'm going to wrap up here because I don't know how long I've been going, and I'm terrified that the audio's shit, and I'm terrified that the video's shit, and I'm terrified that it's all shit. So thanks for bearing with me in the new studio, and hopefully next week will be better. Now we end the episode every week, when I don't forget, with gratitude. And the reason that we do that is because practicing gratitude trains your brain to actually be happier. Really what happens is when you scan for new things to be grateful for, and they have to be new things every time. You don't want to just repeat the same things, because it's the process of scanning for something new that is then strengthening the part of your brain that looks for the good things in life. And so it's like working out a muscle. Every time you do it, you're just strengthening that part of your brain. And over time, you'll find that you're a more optimistic and happy person. So I invite you, as I list three things that I'm grateful for this week, to also list three things that you're grateful for either today or this week, whichever way you prefer doing it. Just make sure you're not repeating yourself. Okay, I am grateful that I was able to get so much done for the studio this week. Yeah, I'm feeling really excited about this new setup, and I can't wait to give you guys a little tour. I am grateful Let's see. Oh, I'm grateful that Sam seems to be feeling better. I think she had a UTI and she was like peeing everywhere. So I don't think she's done that in a minute. Hopefully, I don't know. And I am grateful. Ooh, I'm grateful that I came across the Korean melons at H Mart because they taste so much better than the Korean melons that I was buying from the farmer's market. And they really, really do help me. Like if you are constipation prone, buy Korean melons and eat them with seeds and skin and everything. And they're A, so fucking good, and B, like really will help with on the elimination front. So yeah, you're welcome for that. Oh, and I haven't even told you guys, I'm fully off of magnesium now. I'm just pooping naturally here these days. And I told you guys once that happens, we will launch the nervous system course. So it is coming out 2 weeks from today. It's going to be a big 2 weeks for me, but I'm so fucking excited. The course is honestly so good. Okay, love you guys. Per usual, I'm grateful for you guys. I just never do it as my three things because it wouldn't be new. I'd be doing the same thing. Oh, and this is the last Tuesday of the month, which means the September giveaway is now wrapping up. At the end of the month, I'm going to randomly select a winner from the people who've left reviews for the show, and the winner will get a free 1 year membership to the Blush Academy. All you have to do to enter the giveaway is just leave a review for the podcast. That's it, and you're automatically entered. And even if you've already left a review or you don't want to join the Blush Academy or whatever, still leave a review. Well, if you've already left a review, that's great. But if you've not left a review, please leave a review. And if you have already left a review, please share this episode with someone who you think would take something from it, or just put it in your Instagram stories and tag @blushpod. It helps the show so much. And really, it's akin to tipping your waiter. You would always tip your waiter. So, you know, share the show and grow the community. Okay. Love you guys. Bye.